Take the Bible, please turn to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. I'm going to read chapter 3. One of those places in the Bible, when you read it, you hope maybe it won't happen this time. But every time we read it, it happens again. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. They realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly. You will eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you have listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden a cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. The good news is here. Along with all this bad news, the good news is here. Actually, it's the first time the good news is found in the Bible. So in the same chapter, the beginning of sin and the beginning of the gospel, it's in verse 15. The woman's seed would come and crush the serpent's head, the first promise of the Messiah. And then God pictured it by covering them and their nakedness with the sinless blood, the animal skins that he provided for them to cover their sin. So the promise of the gospel and the picture of the gospel. But the rest of it is pretty much bad news. The fall of humanity, the fall of man, the entrance of sin into the human race and creation. The serpent tempted the woman, not the man. And the Bible never says why. There are a whole lot of questions here. The Bible never gives the complete answer. Now, there are theories why he tempted her, but honestly, they're theories because the Bible never says why he talked to her and not to him. When the serpent came, he spoke to the woman. When God came, he spoke to the man. That's probably significant. There's probably something going on there. Some say the man was her leader before the fall. Before this day, some say even back in the original ideal state, the man was her leader. So the serpent went around her leader. They use the word covering sometimes, like Adam was her covering. So the serpent went around the covering to her. But the Bible never specifically says this, although it may have been true. And there are reasons to think that even before the fall, there was arrangement like that. Some say the woman was actually the stronger one, and that's why the serpent tempted her, that he went for the stronger one first. In the story, Adam acts rather weak. We have to agree with that. And at first, the woman responded very strongly. Her first answer to the serpent was really right on about the tree and the law and dying and all the rest. In some ways, her words actually strengthen the original command from God about the trees back in chapter 2. So she got the message clearly, and apparently that came through the man. Because if you remember the sequence, the man was created, God gave the commands, then the woman was created in that order. Apparently the man was right there with her when he sinned. This has been made a really big deal. There's a whole book called The Silence of Adam. He wasn't over the hill somewhere taking a nap. Apparently he was right there. It says so in verse 6. She gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So he was silent, apparently, and did not intervene and actually voluntarily sin. The Bible does say that she was deceived, but he was not. So his sin was more intentional. He knew what he was doing was sin. He was right there with him when he did it. And perhaps these are some of the reasons why the Bible always blames the fall of humankind on Adam and not on Eve. Right through the Bible, the fall is attributed to the man. I'll give you some of those right now. Like Romans 5:14. This chapter compares the two men, Adam and Jesus. And it says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a covenant, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come." Romans 5:15, "The many died by the trespass of the one man." Romans 5:17, "By the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man." Romans 5:19, "Through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners." And that includes all of us here today who are the sons and daughters of our father, Adam. And in 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ will all be made alive." Praise the Lord for the good news. Amen. So God attributes the fall of humankind to Adam, not to Eve. Now, when God comes and says that plaintive question, "Where are you?" We know God knew exactly where they were, behind the third bush on the left, hiding over there. It was not looking for location. It was expressing a real feeling in the real heart of a real God who is a person with feelings and wants relationship with people. His heart was broken. You can hear it when he says, "Where are you?" He confronts them, and when the man was confronted, he blamed the woman. Actually, he even sort of blamed God. Did you hear it? "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some." All the relationships are now broken between him and her, between him and the Lord. All these perfect relationships were broken by sin. Sin always wrecks relationships. And I'll say more about this in a moment. Another part of the consequence of sin on the woman, I'm going to use the word hierarchy. It means now God put in place a structure, an authority structure between them. God said to her, "Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." This would be a great change in their relationship. It was not this way before, but it would be from then on. Why? Because before, God didn't have sin messing everything up between him and people. Now when sin comes in, God has to put in structures to control everything, essentially. The Bible says that. In Romans 13, it talks about all the authorities in our world. It says in Romans 13:1, "We must submit ourselves to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." And it says, "Therefore, he who rebels against the authority rebels against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong." God had to put in rulers and authorities among people to deal with those who do wrong. Before anybody was doing wrong, those rulers were not needed. Are you following this? All right. So now God has to organize all of this and put in leadership structures. And the first one is what he said to her, "He will now rule over you." The first part of this phrase is hard to interpret about desire. It's kind of a strange verse in the Bible, actually. It means something like this: "Woman, you will desire for your husband to rule over you, and you will also desire to rule over him." It's kind of a strange ambivalence being expressed here in these words. It's hard to understand. But one thing is clear: from now on, he's going to be ruling over you. That's what God said. Before the fall, the man and the woman were equal. They were co-rulers. They were co-rulers of all of creation. Before the fall, as far as we can tell, he was never called her leader. And she was never told to submit to him. They had this perfect partnership kind of relationship back there. But since the fall, a husband is now over his wife as an authority or her leader. New Testament word for it is her head. The husband is the head of the wife. Important to know what that word accurately means. And since the fall, a wife is to be under her husband in submission to him. That's how it is. We don't like it, but that's how it is. I don't like it. This is not the good news today. This is the fall. But this is how it is. More about that too. There were other curses and other consequences. Actually, the only curse was on the serpent and the ground. Specifically, when you read it, there are actually two curses. The serpent gets cursed, no legs, and also you got to eat dust, and one day you get your head crushed, praise the Lord. And the other was on the ground. Isn't it amazing that human sin affected the physical creation? But it's true. Do you know we would not have had this big snowstorm today if not for the fall of man way back then? It messed up everything. Not just human relationships and religious things, but even the physical world was broken by human sin. The Bible says so. You want to read this? Turn to Romans chapter 8. New Testament verse that tells us about this. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. Where it says, the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. It even says here the whole creation is groaning and longing for this glorious freedom that has not yet happened this morning. This is talking about in between paradise lost and paradise regained. And that's where you and I live, beloved, today. We're in that in-between time. This same Romans 8 says that we also groan and we long for that time of restoration. Because in our hearts, we all know this is not the way it's supposed to be. Not the way the physical world's supposed to be. Not the way it's supposed to be between people. It's not the way it's supposed to be. We know that. We long for it to be that way one day, and it will be. In the meantime, we and even the physical world are groaning. So you have tornadoes and carnivorous animals and diseases and earthquakes and all kinds of things on the ground. Wow, even the ground was cursed. Part of the curses and consequences, painful childbirth. Before they would have had kids, they were commanded to fill the earth, reproduce. They're going to keep on doing that, and now it's going to be painful. Now the consequences are painful toil. Adam had to work before. That was part of the ideal state. There was responsibility, stewardship, management, all that. Now it's just going to be hard with thorns and thistles and all the rest. And eventually, death. Part of the curse now was what God told them. When you eat of this, you will die. They began to die that moment, and they died and went back to the dust from which they were made. Wow. What a mess. People say, well, Adam be in heaven. I don't know. But if he is, I'm going to give him a swift kick. Amen. Adam named the woman Eve. Notice that. Unusual, isn't it? In the middle of all this, the Bible stops to tell us that's when she got her name. She was not named before. It says there was a, what verse I forget, Adam named his wife Eve. Their perfect unity was now becoming individualization, don't you see? Before, their name was simply Adam. Genesis 5:1, they were called Adam. They were this one thing almost with this one name. And now there comes distinction, individuality between them. Adam gives her the name Eve. 2 weeks ago, I spoke here about how it was, we think, before the fall. And before the fall, the man and the woman had this perfect relationship, somewhat like the Holy Trinity. It really was a picture of God himself. Didn't God say he's going to make them in our image? And he did. And part of that image was how the Trinity has this perfect holy relationship, this kind of interdependence, you know. The Father always wants to honor the Son. The Spirit wants to honor the Father and the Son. You know, the Son wants to honor the Father. It's always like that in the Holy Trinity. It's a mystery, actually, how beautiful it is, how one they are. Yet they are not they, but he, a community, our God himself is a community, a relational God. It's hard to say. We've been trying to say it for 2,000 years, actually. How do you describe it? But their relationship, the man and the woman, was somewhat like that. Because they were distinct, and I showed you all the ways they were different, but they were also one, and all the ways they were the same. They were one, yet individuals. You know, their unity was not uniformity. Their distinction did not become division, right? We know that. That was how it was way back there in Genesis 1 and 2. Before the fall, there was no hierarchy. After the fall, now there is. He will rule over you. Before the fall, they had this perfect relationship. After the fall, it was broken. She did it. They began to blame each other. That perfect marriage was now broken. Before the fall, there was intimacy. In that last verse of Genesis 2, they were both naked. They were not ashamed. Perfect intimacy. After the fall, there's blaming, covering up, hiding, fear. All the intimacy is now broken. Before the fall, there was diversity. They were not some unisex thing back there. You know, I don't want you to get some kind of weird cloning idea that Adam and Eve were kind of like two carbon copies. That's not the Bible. They had diversity. It was beautiful. But now that has become division, which is not. Before the fall, they had just one name, Adam, man. Not even Mr. and Ms., just one name. After the fall, now it's two names, Adam and Eve. Men are not from Mars. Women are not from Venus. Both of them are from God. I read that book. It's not a Christian book. It had some truth in it, I thought. It's a secular attempt to describe all of this, you know, and it had a big influence. Men are not from Mars. Women are not from Venus. They're both from God, but they are different. They were different back in the ideal state, and maybe even more different now since the fall, and that's too bad. Do you know, if there had been no fall, the ideal state would have continued until today. Anchorage would be in the Garden of Eden. Doesn't that sound good this morning? Perfect peace, no disease, no war. We would have gone on to build a civilization like God told them and rule the earth and subdue it and fill the earth. A worldwide spiritual family of God. But that did not happen. After the fall comes 4,000 years of bad history. We call it the Old Testament. There's a lot of great things back there, of course. It is the Word of God. But after the fall comes 4,000 years of sadness and pain and all kinds of strife and bad relationships mostly between women and men. Come back next week if you want to hear that exciting, edifying message.